just talk a little about what the visitors and the curators, those of us who are on the outside of prison, get from this experience? Because we've been focusing naturally a lot on what the incarcerated artists are doing and what their experiences are. But I think it's important for us to realize that we are learning a lot from the artists and that we're getting a lot from the artists. And because when you go into the gallery and you see all these expressions of longing, longing for love and for beauty and to be able to express sorrow and anger, those are all the emotions that we all feel. And I think somewhere in our minds, some of the visitors have to be saying to themselves, wait, these are people who are incarcerated, and yet I feel this close connection because they're expressing things that I feel. So I think it calls into question this great separation between those of us in the world and those of us who are in prison. And the other thing is that we're living in a very dark time, and we're living in a world of surveillance and tracking, all of us, not just people in prison. And we're living in a world where there are many invisible forces of domination that we really can't see and that we really can't control. And so in a way, I think that through the exhibit, through this exposure, we can see ourselves more on a spectrum that we're all on. The people who are in prison are on the extreme end of the spectrum. And those of us who are fortunate to be living a comfortable life are on the other end of the spectrum, but we're all on the spectrum together. And when we see the artist making an incredible boat out of toothpicks, or, you know, like Brian Pickens' sculpture, robot made out of cardboard, you know, or a detailed painting, it inspires us with the ingenuity and the inventiveness of people who are resisting their environment by rising to this occasion to be creative. And that's what we all need to do, really. And so it's inspiring to us, and we learn from them.
The inspiration that you spoke of, yes, it is the people in prison and the people out here. But it's also the people in prison, from prison to prison to prison to prison, because we are not allowed to communicate through letters or any means with other prisoners. But at the same time, the connection that you spoke of is so fully felt among prisoners in all the Michigan prisons that you collect art from. Because when we see the videos that you send into the prisons, and we see a video from MR, but we are up in the UP, and we see a friend of ours, or even if it's not a friend, say, wow, look at that piece that was created over there. You know, there is a connection being made continuously every year. People looking at these videos are saying, man, I know that guy. I never knew he could do that. And the inspiration that comes from that, it's generated over and over and over again, because people say, man, if that guy can do that, and I know what he's like, I know I can do that too. People who are going to see Montigny's piece of the transition and movement and time are going to say, man, I can paint time too. And that's inspiring to people. When they see that piece or a piece like that, they'll say, man, I can create time. I can paint time. Let me try. And they try that. And that's also connecting people prison to prison to prison to prison, not just the inside and the outside.
That's very powerful.
It's very, very powerful.
Because as you say, there isn't a way to communicate. So you can see, oh, your friend moved to this other facility, and then you can see what he's been up to.
Yes, and you can see growth and mm-hmm. development. There was an artist, you know, everybody knows, Mirko, I guess I can say his name. When he moved to another prison, he left for 4 or 5 years from IMAX, but we could see his work developing mm-hmm. from those little strokes that he learned when he was in IMAX, and he was so afraid of touching a paintbrush and not wanting to ruin a piece that I wanted him to work on, because he said, no, I don't want to ruin your art. And I took his hand and put it in my hand and held it and showed him how to move that brush around. From that development to the development of 5 years later, when he came back to IMAX and we saw what he had done in those 5 years, it's amazing. But he did it because PCAP shows these videos to the prison that he was in. And he continued to want to be involved with the art program. And because of that, I mean, he is amazing. He's one of the better artists in the prisons now.
PCAP happens to be the last vestige that we have in prisons to communicate with each other in any way. We can communicate emotionally through a piece that we've got. When I'm sitting in one prison and a friend of mine who's moved to another prison, who I haven't seen in a year or two, puts a piece into the show, and we get that packet of information after the show is over and it's been mailed out to us, I can flip through that, and sometimes I can see stuff that other artists have done, people that I know and friends, and I can look at that, and there's that connection all over again, right? It's like getting a letter from a friend. It's like picking up the phone and talking to them, and that's the only way that you can communicate to another inmate, is via artwork, really, from the U of M show. So you get to see what they're thinking and feeling, what they're going through, and how far they've come as an individual, how much they've grown through their artwork.